Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning as Shari Lulu Nishmas and the Zeich Nishmas Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Lahal Sham. May her Neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. We're on page 154, please. We started to talk last time about Yira and Ahava based on Kapitol Lamed Dalet of Tehillim. Misha Chafetz Chaim, Ohoviyamim Lirostov, Nitzor Shon Chmeres, Sachem Medaber, Mesur Meira, this is what we're talking about, Va'asei Tov. So let's go to the bottom of page 154, please. Okay? The next stages of Avoda are Ahava, Love, and Yira'ah. I'm just recapping a little because there were some sources from the Mikraos, Gedos, Tehillim that I wanted to tell you that I didn't get to tell you last time. It says in the Pasuk, turn from evil and do good, Sur Me'rav HaSeitov. This Pasuk places turn from evil before do good. We spoke about this last time. We quote of Shem Shofar Hirsch. One turns away from evil because of his Yira'ah, and he does good deeds because of his Ahava. So I just wanted to, I prepared them last time, and I thought that they were important sources. Well, all sources are important when they come from proper sources. So I want to share them with you. So first of all, the Radak, Sur Meira, Rotzalamar Sur Meila Asosra, Ubichalza, Kol Halavin Asher Bamasa. So the Radak says it means turn away from doing bad, and in this category are all the low sases involved. So Sur Meira is referring to low tase, and then Asay Tov, the flip side of that, would be referring to the Asay Tov Klabo Kol Mitzvos Asay Shabamasa. This includes all Mitzvos Asay in action. So if you want to know Hachafetz Chaim Ohav Yomim Lir Ostov, what do you have to do? Sur Meira, the Lo Taaseis you shall not do, and the Aseis you shall do. Bakei Shalom V'Rafehu, Bakei Shalom Bapeh. It's very beautiful. What is the Radak saying? What is he saying? Make sure that you speak of peace and you seek peace through your words. It's not enough that it should be an external seeking of peace, that you talk nicely to other people. And how do you feel in your heart about other people? Not so nice, you don't like them, you have annoying things to think about them, you're not really peaceful inside them. But Dak says it's not enough. Ba'kei shalom virad fei, who is ba'kei shalom ba'peh virad fei, believe. V'zehu yiras Hashem shalamadati aschem. This is the fear of God that King David already taught us. Remember the pasuk says, miha isha chafetz chaim, no. L'chu banim shirmu li yiras Hashem alam dechem. Come, my sons, listen to me. The fear of God I will teach you. What is the fear of God, says Radak? This, ba'kei shalom virad believe, seek peace in your mouth, run after it in your heart. V'zehu yiras Hashem shalamadati aschem. This is the fear of God that King David teaches us. Kimoha Evan sheyarei es Adonav, like a servant who fears his master. Ve'otza mitzvosav, he does his command. V'nizhar, and he's very careful. Shelo ya'avor es piv v'chal asher yitzavenu. Shelo ya'avor, I'm sorry, es piv v'chal asher yitzavenu. You will not transgress. You will not be over for anything that he commands you. So you're going to be very careful. So this idea of chasing after and loving peace on both levels, you should be genuine. It relates to the Mishkan. Mamash relates to the Mishkan. These week's parashos, Truma and Tetzava, are the command to build the Mishkan. And the first kli that we are commanded to make in last week's parasha is the Aron Kodesh. And the Aron Kodesh was actually three boxes. It was the Holy Ark that was in the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Holy of Holies. It was gold inside, it was wood in the middle, and it was gold on the outside. When you looked at the Aron Kodesh, I don't have my Mishkan book with me, but when you looked at the Aron Kodesh, all you saw was actually gold. You did not see any of the wood. There's a layer of wood inside. So the Gemara famously says, what does it teach us? The inside is gold, the outside is gold. What does it teach us? Kol Talmid Chacham she'ein tocho, toch, kevaro, ein Talmid Chacham. Any Talmid Chacham whose inside is not like his outside is not a Talmid Chacham. And I think that relates to this Radak. It's not enough to speak peace and harbor resentment and hatred in your heart. And it's not enough to say, I'm a good person inside, but not follow up with your heart. You need both layers. You need Bapeh and you need Balev. That is Bakei Shalom Verad Fehu. Speak peace, Bakei Shalom Bapeh Verad Fehu Balev. And through that, you will come to your Hashem. Through that, you will come to fear of God. So when I read this Radak, it reminded me of none other than, Hanima, because I know you recently finished reading the book. Forever else read it. I cried when the book was over. I don't know if you also did. Yeah, did you also? Did you cry when you read it?
No, but I did. But I said, it's finished. I was just so disappointed. I wanted it to go on for like another 200 pages.
Me too.
I was reading it over Yantiv. I was reading it over Yantiv, and my son saw me crying.
Mom is crying.
And he said, you're not allowed to read that on Yantiv. It's making you cry. I said, no, I want to finish it.
So I gave my sister-in-law a gift. She helped us a lot with the bar mitzvah, etc. She mentioned there was a certain book that she could borrow from me, so I bought it for her. Tara and Amuna and Harnof, Risa Rahman, which I quote from that. Yeah. We quoted from it last week.
Yeah.
So she texted me. She's like, thank you so much, but I was reading this on Shabbos. She's like, I don't think I'm supposed to be reading this on Shabbos. God, this is different kind of quiet. That's like, I mean, Avelos. What? That's what I'm saying. It's a Mamash Avelos. So same idea. Okay, so when I read this in the Radak, it really reminded me of Hani Machas Alal Sham. Why? Because she didn't just speak peace. And she didn't feel it in her heart. She was a woman who was tocha kvara. Her inside was like, she was an Aron Kodesh in the Kodesh HaKadashim, if we could say that. Proverbial Aron Kodesh in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Her whole inside, her whole integrity, her whole essence was reflected on her outside. And her outside is a reflection of her inside. Hani loved to tell stories of Jews who became observant by coming to a Machas Shabbos experience. You were there, right? You were in her house, if I recall?
Okay.
Many years ago, one Shabbos, a young American student from the Hebrew University was among the 100 guests who crowd into the Machas apartment. The student was wearing a nose ring, an eyebrow ring, and he was determined to undermine every word of Torah that Rabbi Machas tried to share at the table. Every time Rabbi Machas spoke, the student would yell, "That's stupid! That's archaic!" He would laugh out loud. Rabbi Machas remembers him as, quote, ready? Quote, "the most obnoxious guest we ever had." During the whole meal, this is what Rabbi Machas says, for 2.5 hours, he was making fun of everything that was going on. I told Hani in the middle of the meal, I can't take it. I'm going to the bedroom. I can't run the meal. Rabbi Machas wanted to leave. Hani encouraged her husband to persevere. She said, ignore what he says. Don't speak to him. Speak to his neshama. Rabbi Machas Sama continued. At the end of the meal, the obnoxious student left. As he walked out the door, the Machas' 7-year-old son Moshe said, "Why do you have that dumb thing in your nose?" The student said, "Why do you have that dumb thing on your head?" Moshe answered, "Because I always know there's something above me and higher than me and better than me. Now why do you have that thing in your nose?" The student returned to his dorm room and wrote in his diary. Just imagine, this little kid knows why he's wearing a kippah. I have no idea why I'm wearing a nose ring. On Sunday morning, he returned to the Machas apartment. He said, "I'm sorry for what I did on Friday night. I really thought it over. My comments and remarks were out of place." And then he said, "I haven't put on tefillin since my bar mitzvah. I want to do something religious to show you I'm sincere. Can I put on tefillin?" 2 years later, they heard from him. He was a grad student at UCLA, and he was organizing the minyanim there. But had she not spoken to his heart, to his neshama, and she not said to her husband, "You can do it, persevere, don't speak to him externally, see the neshama inside, bakasham rafehu, bapa ubalev," the story would have had a very different ending, perhaps. There were a couple more. Okay, one more vignette. Hani considered it a sacred obligation to use every encounter with a Jewish person to influence them towards greater mitzvah observance. Tamar once went ice skating with some friends. She met a Jewish girl from America. They talked for a while. She went to Hebrew school. She told her she wasn't observant. So she came home. So Hani said, "What did you tell her?" So Tamar says, "I didn't tell her anything. I was being nice." My mother says, "Did you tell her to call the Chabad house on campus? Did you talk to her about being Shabbos? Did you talk to her about candle lighting?" "No, we just talked." My mother was so upset. I missed an opportunity to bring another Jew closer. Okay. So I thought it was a very beautiful illustration of this idea in the Radak, which is Bakasham Befever, Fehu Balev. Furthermore, we already saw about the Ase and the Lo Tase. Surah Me'rav is the Lo Tase. Ibn Ezra and the Radak both say that. Ase Tov is the Mitzvos Ase. One more. I'm quoting here from Avastar Rabbi Nassan. Hello, Omer. Heve mi Talmidav Shal Aaron. Well, that's what the Mishnah says, not Avastar Rabbi Nassan. Pirkei Avos says, you should be from the students of Aaron. Ohev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom. Rodev Shalom Ketzad. You should love peace and you pursue peace. How should you pursue peace? Malamin Sheyehe Adam Rodev Shalom B'Yisrael Ben Kal Echad V'Echad. To teach you that a person should pursue peace amongst Israel between each and every person. Kederach Shaya Aaron Rodev Shalom B'Yisrael Ben Kal Echad V'Echad. Like Aaron would pursue peace between every single person. As the Pasuk says, Sur Meirav. Rabbi Nassan quotes his pasuk from Tehillim as a reference to who? Aaron HaKohen. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Im Yoshev Adam Bimkom V'Shosek. If a person just sits in his place and he remains quiet, Ha'ech Rodev Shalom B'Yisrael Ben Kal Echad V'Echad. So are you pursuing peace between each every person? What do you think? On the one hand, you're being passive. You could say, I'm not being involved in machlokas. I'm not causing any fights. I'm just sitting here quietly. It's not good. Ela yitze mimkomo. You have to leave your comfort zone. You have to leave your place. Where am I? 1 second. V'yachzer ba'olam. Return through the world. V'yirdov shalom b'yisrael. Shenemar ba'kei shalom rafehu ha'ketzad. Ba'kei shalom mimkomcha rafehu l'makom achar. Make sure that there is peace in your place. And run after it where? In another place. Why you...
No, I'm just thinking, like, this is the theme of leaving your comfort zone, where Esther Hamalka had to leave her comfort zone, and ultimately she brought
peace
for the entire nation.
To ensure the shleimus, let's use a word, play on a word for peace, to ensure the shleimus of Knesset Yisrael, Esther Hamalka leave her comfort zone. Beautiful. It's not enough. We just read from Avos Rabbi Nasan, it's not enough to seek peace in your place, and it's not enough to be passively quiet. That's why you were smiling when I said it. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. You can't be passively quiet. You have to leave your place and pursue peace. Very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. Anything else? Okay. So, one turns away from evil because of his year, top of page 155, and does good deeds because of his ahava. The Ramban writes in his commentary to the Torah, by the way, I told you last week, it says in the footnote, Shmos 27, from what I looked up, that is not correct. I believe it's a typo. It's Shmos Perchav Pasuches 28. Just to be clear. The aspect of Zachar, remember, Shabbos relates to the positive commandments. You should just know, I don't know if I said it last time, or thank you, or I did not say it last time, but I really don't like the translation of Aseh's positive commandments and the translation of Lo Taseh as negative commandments. It has a very negative connotation. The pun is intended. Lo Taseh does not mean negative. Lo Taseh means you shall not do, as in you shall not kindle a fireplace in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. And Aseh means you shall do, as in you shall have lacha mishnah on yom hashishi. So I don't like this translation at all. That's not about the sefer. I'm just pointing it out here. It's brought down here, and it's not really very helpful or positive connotation. There is no such thing as a negative commandment. Negative means something is negative. All commandments, all mitzvahs are positive. Some tell you what to do, and some tell you what you should not do. The aspect of Zachar, remember, Shabbos relates to the mitzvos aseh, what you shall do to honor Shabbos. Kiddush, Friday night, is a deraisa based on the passage of Shabbos from the Seres Hadibros. What you shall do. It is an outgrowth of ahava. You love Hashem. You want to do what pleases Hashem. This week's parasha says about the Karman Tamid, it's a reach nichoach lefanai. Rashi says in Vayikra repeatedly, reach nichoach min she'amarti v'nasa ritzoni. Hashem, what is a pleasing fragrance to God? When He gives us a command and we do the command, it's a pleasing fragrance. Why do we want to do it? Because we love Hashem. Shamar, on the other hand, Shamar, Shema Shabbos, the Kachov, from Parshas Ve'aschanan, when Moshe repeats the Aseres Hadibros, guard the Sabbath day, in other words, refrain from, i.e., you shall not cook on the Sabbath day, you shall not, we said, light a fire already, you should not do Tochen, you should not do Borer, relates to the Lo Taseh, translated as negative commandments. It comes from the sense of Yira, reverence, wherein one wishes one is apprehensive lest he do something against his master's wishes. So in other words, these two things stem from two different emotive experiences. On the one hand, I love Hashem and I want to do what pleases you. On the other hand, I'm afraid to do what's wrong. And if we remember that our relationship with Hashem is like a father to a son, we call Hashem, he is Avinu and he is Malkeinu, but he is our father. So we have these two experiences with a child. On the one hand, the child loves the parents and wants to do what pleases the parents. On the other hand, the child should have some sense of reverence or awe or fear of the parent. And therefore, you don't want to transgress. Why? Because you're afraid that the parent will be upset. There might be repercussions. I might get in trouble. So too, I don't want to do something against my master's wishes. I feel apprehensive. I know the parent does not allow this. The parent absolutely, unequivocally, unequivocally said, you shall not do this, and then I'm apprehensive. If I have to do this, according to this system of correspondence, did someone just say something? According to this system of correspondences, the pasuk from Tehillim places Yira, Sur Meira, revere the Almighty, before Ahava, love God, Vaseito. Based on this order, many of our great leaders taught Yira should precede Ahava. So when I was preparing this, what came to my mind very clearly is the pasuk from Devarim that clearly delineates this order for us very clearly. It's a pasuk from Parshas Ekev. It's Perek Yud, chapter 10, pasuk Yud Beis. Does anyone know what pasuk I'm referring to? When you talk about Yira and Ahava. Are you raising your hand? Half raising your hand? You're not sure? Va'ata Yisrael, and now Israel, Ma Hashem el kacha sho'al mimach. What does Hashem, your God, ask from you? Ki im li yira as Hashem el kacha. If not, to fear Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu stands out, what does God want from you? To fear or revere Hashem, your God. La'lachas b'chol drachav, to go in all his ways. U'lahava oso. What comes first in this pasuk? Forget Tehillim. I don't mean forget Tehillim, but you understand. We have a much earlier source, something that precedes them, something that precedes the whole world. What comes first in this pasuk? That's the first thing that Moshe Hashem says God asks from you. If you fear God, listen to the progression of the pasuk. It makes perfect sense. Va'ata Yisrael, and now Israel. What does God ask from you? What comes after that? Lalachas b'chol drachav. Doesn't that make sense? If you revere the Almighty, we just gave a mashal nimshal with a child and parent. If you reveal the Almighty, then of course lalachas b'chol drachav. Will you go in his ways or you won't go in his ways? Of course you will. Then comes ulahava oso. From the reverence, you will go in his ways. After you go in his ways, you will become to the level of loving God. Let's say weighty responsibility. The pasuk makes it sound like, what does God want from you? But so the Aruch Chaim is a beautiful psha on this pasuk. So the Aruch Chaim says, "Kavanas ha-kasuf hi al zeh ha-derech." He's going to explain to you the intention of this verse. Lefi sheyesh shtei hadragos shechafetz Hashem Yisrael asos. There are two madrigos. What does that mean? Two levels that God desires Israel to do. Veheim zo lemala mizo. What do you think? Which is above the other? First of all, what are the two madrigos? Why am I bringing it to you in the Sefer at this juncture? Because what's he talking about here? These two aspects of Ahavanira. So immediately our mind should go to this pasuk, because here we have a pasuk where Hashem says, where Moshe says you have to revere God, and then he says you have to love God. So there are two madrigos. The two madrigos are Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem. One is on top of the other. Which one do you think is a higher madriga?
Yira.
Yira?
No.
Ahava.
Definitely.
So we're split. If you said Yira, if you said Ahava.
Well, if Yira comes first, then
right, so that's the thing. Because Yira comes first, and there's a progression in this pasuk from, I don't want to say easiest, because Tev Yiras Hashem is not easy, but from lower to higher, then you would think that Ahava comes next. But some people, interesting, said Yira. So, Echad hi ha-Yira. One is to revere the Almighty. Ulamala mimena, above the level of divine reverence, ha'ahava, is love. Va'amarlam she'enu mevakesh mem ki im ha'yira. What does God desire from you? To revere Hashem. Va'tam ha'davarhu, lefisha ha'yira tisovev eschem lelechis b'chol drachav. That's what we explain. The yira will cause you or will lead you to go in all his ways. Ki hayare lo yachlam, eating the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Because he who fears God will not hold back miyiraso from his reverence. Afilu ba'achas me'alav she'alav lasos. Even you won't, if you really revere the master, you're going to do everything, even the one of 1,000th command that he commanded you to do. You don't want to transgress. If he says, do everything from A to Z, I'm going to do everything from A to Z, even the one of 1,000th that's upon me to do. Velo zo bilvad magiyaso elo olo ulahavo. So you will come to love him. Harei shahira hi, listen, harei shahira hi pesach likanes l'sha'ar ha'ahava. He's quoting the Zohar. What did he just say? Yes, you're nodding. We said, what did he say?
That's what he said before, that the yira leads to the ha'ahava.
So it's an entranceway. Hayira hi pesach or patach likanes l'sha'ar ha'ahava, quoting the Zohar. The Aruch Chaim is quoting the Zohar. The reverence to revere God is the gateway to enter into the sha'ar, the gate of love. Let's say a person has to undergo a certain kind of therapy, okay? With a certain therapist, let's say. And it's very hard. The therapy is very hard. And you have some sort of fear or reverence of this therapist, and you listen to everything that he or she tells you, because they're very strict, they act in a certain manner. It's very strict. You want to make sure not to transgress everything they tell you. But over time, when acting through the yira, and you see the results and the change in your life, what happens?
feel the gratitude.
And what does it lead to, really?
Toward
it really leads towards love. I have one of my son's therapists who's been working with him. I can't say I ever had like yira for her, but a certain sense of a respect. Who's working with him since he's 6 months old. I love her. I mamish love her. I love her. Like, I mamish love this person. So what are we learning here? Vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's the ultimate. Even if you start because you serve God because of Yira, it's the Pesach, the Kanes L'Sha'ar Ha'ava. And listen what the Aruch Chaim says, it's beautiful. Who remembers the first word of the Pesach? What comes before Ma? The Atah. Not Aleph, Ayin, now. Oh, so the Aruch Chaim says, V'lozekish Amar Kasuv, Hashem Sho'al Mimachkim Liyira, Dikdeik Lomar Ve'atak. And that's why when it says, you only have to fear God, it was Midaktik, I was exacting, the Pasuk was exacting to say, but now, Perush, Mashu Sho'al Liyira Hu Ata. When you start in the path of serving God, in the beginning you do it out of reverence, out of fear, out of awe. How could I not do what the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded me? I'm scared not to do it. Bizman zesh ata ba lisa al ha'alokus. Over time, you come to carry the burden of his godliness. Of al ein zat tachlis masha chafetz mimeno. That's not the main tachlis. How would you translate tachlis? Purpose? It's not the main purpose of what he wants from you. Allah shazay ya amidenu bigeder ka'ahava va'ata. Now, you're just starting out. What do I want from you now? Revere the Almighty. Because if you revere the Almighty, says the Aruch Chaim, of course you'll go in his ways. And if you go in his ways and you revere him, you will come to enter into the Pesach or the Gather of Ahava. You're looking like you're thinking.
No.
You want to comment? It's clear, it's not clear. You agree, you don't agree? I mean, we can't really not agree with Aruch Chaim, but you could maybe have an opinion that you want to express. Okay. Furthermore, from this very famous pasuk, we have one of the most famous, or I don't know, very famous Ma'amar Chazal, and that is, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mi Yira Shemayim, Shenemar, Va'ata Yisrael, Ma'asha Melkecha Shem, Mimach Ki'im Li Yira. And it's brought down in the Gemara, Maseches Brachos, Maseches Megillah, and Maseches Nida. It's very famous. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven, the reverence of heaven. That is up to us. And if I revere the Almighty, I will make the right choices in my life. And if I revere the Almighty, I will go in His path. And if I revere the Almighty and go in His path, I will come to love Hashem. Okay, anything. Okay, I'm just going to pour this. On the other hand, thank you so much for the water. Tis kula mitzvot. As I would say in Eretz HaKodesh, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Abedvaro. So last sentence of the first paragraph on page 155. Thank you. Based on this order, many of our great leaders taught that Yira should precede Ahava. So we just saw it in the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu, our greatest of leaders, taught us that Yira should precede Ahava. On the other hand, the Besht explained this verse differently. The Baal Shem Tov says, how do you turn from evil? By doing good. Which is would correspond to, I believe, Mitoch Shelo Lishma. You could all finish this. Balishma. How do you turn from evil? By doing good. So in other words, according to the Baal Shem Tov, there's a different order. Let's say your inside doesn't feel it. Let's say your tocho is not kavar. Let's say you're not any machas. And you don't really feel so loving towards that Jew who's disparaging everything you say. So what does the Baal Shem Tov say? You should still, on the outside, act a certain way. Because what happens if you do good? Ultimately, you will turn away from evil. A person's, the Sefer HaChinuch has such a beautiful piece on this. In the mitzvah of Etzem Lo Tishbru Bo, Parshas Bo, on not breaking a bone. I shouldn't go look it up, right? Because what happens when I go look things up on my phone? Okay, fine. I'm not going to do it. It's an attack. Okay, I have it, but I'm afraid. Pun intended. I'll have to. I'm just joking. That was really just a joke. To wake you all up. The Sefer Chinuch has a beautiful piece on this, on not to break a bone on the Korban Pesach. It's a very strange command, not to break a bone on the Korban Pesach, like, why can't you break a bone when you're eating the meat? So, the Sefer HaChinuch, oy vey, I really want to go look up. The Sefer, so just like a quote the Lashon for you. So the Sefer HaChinuch says there that we're an Am Segula and we're not slaves. The way of slaves is to eat with your hands and break everything and to get every last piece of bone and don't throw out the peels because that's so that's food. That we're free people, but we're also dignified people. And we cannot eat in a way like animals eat, in a crass, unsanua way. Even in our eating, we should reflect our dignity. And he says there so beautifully. Would you send me an email to remind me to please bring the mitzvah next week, Blinator, so we could look at the Lashon? So the Sefer HaChinuch says that even if one is a tzaddik his whole life, but he associates or does not the actions of a tzaddik, he will ultimately turn to Ra. And if someone is a Rasha, but he continues or he starts to do only good things and he continues to do good things, he will turn into a tzaddik. It's very powerful. A person follows after his actions. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov Seer says. So if you want to turn from evil, what should you do? Do good. The way to turn from evil is first to do good. So don't worry about changing your interior. Let's say you're working on your Yitzhar. 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 You can't get rid of your Yitzhar. So if you wait till you get rid of your Yitzhar to make you to a tzaddik, inside, you're never going to do good. So the Baal Shem Tov says, you know what you should do? Do good, because if you continue to do good, what will happen? It will influence your interior and you will become a tzaddik. In other words, in this case, yira can be attained through ahava. If you are ase tov, ahava, you will come to be a sur meira. It's very cool. Is everyone with me? Because this is the opposite pshat of the first pshat. The first pshat is sur meira, ase tov, lo tase, ase yira, ahava. This pshat is telling you something else. The Baal Shem Tov says, how do you turn from evil? Do good. In other words, yira can be attained through ahava. Do good on the exterior, mitzvos ase, love people, even though your interior doesn't feel it yet. You're going to start to influence your very own self on the inside. Yeah.
Even in that example, it still sounds like the sur meira comes first.
Wait. Start again.
Where someone is on the outside doing good, but inside has that yetzer hara, I still feel like the sur meira comes first because the doing good is kind of their, even though it's fake, it's coming from the desire to stay away from the bad. Like it's the, I feel like the sur meira is coming before the asik.
You're saying sur meira.
The kavana, I guess, of the asay tov.
The yirei comes before that. So you're saying according to the sur meira, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It still sounds like the sur meira is coming first. If someone's doing good, they're not really doing good. It's not really ava. It's just part of the sur meira, I guess. I don't know. That's how I see it.
But what you're trying to do is influence your interior.
Right, isn't that because of the sur meira?
The external can influence the internal, and the internal can influence the exterior. So let's say a person cannot overcome this negativity within, so they should never do good?
No, externally. I think they shouldn't do it. I'm saying I still think that the sur meira is coming first, before that goodness.
Okay. So look at the next sentence. No. One second. Look at the next sentence. These are the two paths we have found. There's two different approaches, and maybe one approach works for one person, and one approach works for another person. Lamaisa, we have to try to get to the point where Tocho Kavaro, like the Aron Kodesh, my internal and my external are in sync. So it's interesting about the Aron, and why do we need the wood in the inside? Is that what you were thinking? Or like, if you want Tocho Kavar, right? If you should be gold on the outside and gold on the inside, so why do you need wood? In the inside. It's three boxes. Gold, wood, gold. I wasn't planning to discuss this, so I didn't bring my Mishkan back. Sorry, I can't show you a picture. I love my Mishkan book. So, why do you need gold at all? Why do you need the wood at all? Maybe because it makes it stronger. But there has to be a shkafic lesson also. Gold is very strong. You can make the menorah all of gold, and the menorah's not falling down. The menorah doesn't have any wood in it. So if you want Tocho to be kabaru, so why do you need wood? So it's a good question. I don't have an answer. I'm sort of putting it out there.
I think I once heard an answer to that.
What?
I think I once heard an answer. I don't remember it exactly.
Okay, so what is it?
I think it's about anivas, that we should still have, even though, let's say, gold, we're not great, but we should still have...
Inside, you should be as simple as wood.
Yes.
Very nice. Okay.
Let's
Also, I was thinking one more thing that I'll tell you what I was thinking. I don't know. Again, I didn't see it's brought down anywhere. But wood also is, it comes from atze shitim omdim. Atze shitim omdim is for the beams. They have to be in the right position. But it comes from atze shitim, wood. Eight reminds us of Torah because eitz chaim hi l'machazikim b'vsemchem ushar. So it's a person can only be golden if their interior is an interior of Torah. If your foundation is Torah, then you can be a golden person, because ultimately it is the Torah that refines us and shapes us and makes us into the golden human beings that we are. Can a person truly be gold without the force of Torah behind them? Even the Umas Olam of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, even they have certain commands that they have to live by and that they have to abide by. So Torah is Eitz Chaim Hi. If the interior, the middle layer of the person is Eitz, is Torah, there is inside will be God and their outside will be God. And that's true. When you look at the Gedolim, a Rav Steinman, I was going to quote something soon, maybe I'll come next week, I don't know. Hani Machas, Lahavdil ben Hani Machas and Hani Steinman, but two great people, each in their own right, which is very different. If their foundation is Torah, they're a person of God inside and outside. And if a person's foundation is not Torah, it is very difficult, almost impossible, to become a person of God. Okay, I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. But yours is also very nice because gold is an expensive, fancy material, and wood is a plain, simple material that's accessible throughout the whole world. So we have to be a person of anivas. Beautiful. Okay, very nice. Okay, so there are two paths we affirm. We will start here with Yira, reverence, but we emphasize that this order does not necessarily determine that such must be your order. Everyone should learn all the material. See which path. See what he's saying? Everyone should see. Year before Ahava, Ahava before Yira. What's more appropriate for your soul? Which Mahalach works better for you, Nevodas Hashem? You should act accordingly. However, the truth is that feeling one's own soul and determining its natural propensity? What is that?
Propensity.
What?
The way they are.
Okay, fine. And determining your natural personality. Yes? Is that what it means?
Yeah, like what they're leaning towards.
How they are.
Okay. Okay, fine. So the way that you're leaning towards, that makes sense. The truth is the feelings one's own soul. And determining your natural tendency. Is that the right word? Tendency, yes. Yes. Is not at all simple. You must daven. You must beseech Hashem to guide you in the path of truth. Oh. It's so true. We spoke about this. Risa, I was thinking about you actually this morning when I was saying, Atachonin Adam Da'as.
I always think of you.
Because you said, I want the order that you said. I was thinking about, because Hashem, Ribon Sha'olam, please guide me on the correct path. Sometimes we're so confused, we don't even know what the correct path is. You have to daven that Hashem, beseech Hashem to guide you in the path of truth. To give you, look, the da'as, the knowledge, the intuition, the wisdom, the foresight. To do not what is easiest, but what is truly most appropriate for you. Sometimes the easiest path is not necessarily the best path. And sometimes the easiest path is not the most appropriate path. You need to daven, what is the best path for me? You looked it up? Oh. It's very interesting. Rav Salvechik has such a tremendous piece on in this week's parsha. Well, it's these two parshios. Last week we're commanded to light the menorah, and this week we're to build the menorah. Last week we're commanded to build the menorah. True. At the beginning of Tetzav, we're commanded to light the menorah. Right at the beginning of Tetzav, the command to light the menorah. At the end of Tetzav, we're commanded to make the golden menorah. What was offered on the golden menorah? Who remembers? The ketores, the spice mixture, the spice incense offering, which is commanded in next week's parsha in Kitisa. So in Teruma, we're commanded to make the menorah. In the beginning of Tetzava, the parsha opens with the command to light the menorah. The parsha of Tetzava ends with the command to make the Mizbeach HaZahav. What is offered on the Mizbeach HaZahav? The Ketoros. Now, they both, the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden altar, and the menorah, stood near each other in the room of the Mishkan called the Kodesh. When were they lit at the same time? As soon as the Kohen lit the menorah in late afternoon, going into evening, that is when they offered the Ketores offering. The Mishkan itself is not a very big space. It was 30 amos by 10 amos. I just learned today from two men actually at the Nautilus, if they're correct, that an am is between 18 to 24 inches, depending on different of opinion in Chazal. Lama was telling me 18. Raman came over after to tell me it's not so clear it's 18. There's a Mechogos, which makes much more sense. Instead of saying definitively 18, it actually makes more sense. He says that the Gemara says it's between 18 to 24 inches. So it's not such a big space. The whole Mishkan was 30 amos long. It was covered by three curtains. So there's not a lot of air circulation going on in this Mishkan, okay? It's covered by an embroidered layer made of linen, purple wool, blue wool, red wool. It's then covered by gold panels, 11 gold hair panels sewn together, and that is covered by leather on top. The walls are wood, talking about wood, covered in gold and silver sockets. There's a small entranceway at the east. The whole Kodesh is only 20 amos long. In the Kodesh, you have three implements, the Shulchan, Mizbech HaZahav, and the Menorah. So you're talking about a space that's 20 amos by 10 amos, covered in three thick coverings with walls of wood and gold and beams in the front. At the same time that the Kohen lit the menorah, it had to be a half log of shemen to last through the long winter nights of Tevis. He went and he offered the incense spices. It was a spice mixture of 11 spices, the ketores. And what do you think happened in the Mishkan when you lit, if you were there, if you had to imagine, when you lit the ketores? What would happen to the space of the Mishkan? I'm just asking, this isn't a trick question. You're standing in a small rectangular space and you start burning ketores spices on top of the fire on the Mizbech. What's going to happen to the space? It's not going to burn up because it's the Mishkan and there's a miracle. It's going to become filled with smoke. This is not a trick question. Just think about what I'm saying logistically. You know, when we light menorah, always make sure there's air circulation. There shouldn't be three curtains over the small room where you're lighting. So it's going to become filled with smoke. So now I have to ask you a question. You just lit the menorah. You have twinkling lights, and now you fill the room with smoke. Can you see the lights of the menorah pretty much after the room fills with smoke? These small little lamps on the menorah, are they really visible? Is the light visible once the room fills with smoke?
No.
Not so much. It's going to be very hazy. If you have to define what the room's going to look like, it's going to be very hazy. So Rav Soloveitchik has such a tremendous piece on this. I'm not going to quote the whole Lashon because it's one of the pieces where you need to see it inside and read it three times to understand what he's saying. Very brilliant. But the menorah represents wisdom, clarity. The light of the menorah represents, I'm saying it in my own words, okay? When things make sense in life, reasonableness, rational, I'm going to say my words and his words. When one finds reasonableness, is that a word? And rational pattern in every niche of creation. The menorah represents light. The menorah represents clarity, rationality, openness, frankness. A stage in life when man has no questions and no problems. I'm quoting the Rav, by the way. His life is straightforward and simple. Rationality is interwoven into the very texture of an enjoyable life. It symbolizes man's great capacity for understanding and rationalizing. It makes sense. Light, clarity, life, happiness. I can see when the menorah is lit. At the very moment that you light the menorah, what do you have to do? Light the ketores. What happens when you light the ketores? What happens to all that rationality, all that clarity, all that wisdom, all that sight, all that light, everything that makes sense? All of a sudden it's very, one word, hazy, smoky. You're looking in the distance and you can't really see the lights anymore. What do you think that represents? If the light, Ner HaMa'ar, represents clarity, rationality, openness, frankness, a stage in life when you have no questions and you have no problems, everything is straightforward, everything is simple. It's interwoven into the texture of your enjoyable life. Ner HaMa'ar symbolizes great capacity. I understand everything. And then you take the ketores, and the whole room is filled with smoke. And I can't really see those lights anymore. What do you think that represents? In your own words, what do you think it represents?
Where we are,
meaning?
No clarity.
Lack of clarity. Confusion, the inability to understand. This is why the Torah has united the kindling of the menorah with the burning of the incense. Every corner, every crack, every detail, every particle reflects the glory of God. what is seen and what is unseen. And not everything is illuminated at the exact time of Hadlaka Saneirus in the temple. At the exact time when you light the menorah and you say everything is clear and everything makes sense and I can see the light, the incense, the Ketores, is burned on the Mizbeach. The vapor, the cloud of smoke rises. It saturates the air in the sanctuary. The lights can hardly shine brightly. They have to penetrate the haze. You see the Neros, but you can't even make use of them. The light is in a distance. The sanctuary is not illuminated. One perceives the light, but you can't enjoy it. It's so far away from me. And in our words, if you had to say that, the Ketores then adds the element of confusion. Talking about Esther Hamalka, on the one hand, everything's so clear. On the other hand, everything is so terrifying. Wow. One second. The Ketores does not simplify, but complicates matters, or represents the complications in life. It narrates the story of anonymous worlds which exist in cosmic silence. It sends beams of light through endless spaces, and we have no hint as to how to explain them, and no hint as to how to clear up the mystery of life. And this is the paradox of every person's life, and it's the paradox of Jewish history in particular. Says the Rav, it's applicable to history in general, Jewish history in particular, and moreover is applicable to man as an individual. Who could say this does not apply to them? On the one hand, at times you have clarity, you have rationality, you have reason, everything makes sense. It's the times when you have no questions and no problems, and life is so straightforward. Who remembers those days? When life used to be straightforward, and life used to be simple. And rationality is in the very texture of my enjoyable life. At that very moment, the Mishkan is filled in a haze. And what happened to the light? I can't even see it. 18,500, what do you think of that piece? Unbelievable. 18,500 Jews at the party of Achashverosh, and we're assimilated, and we're happy, and we're prosperous. And who even remembers Bayis Rishon? And we're drinking, Valkalim, Mikalim, Shonim, and we're drinking 18,500. I've taught this Medrash with the Lashon inside. Are drinking the Kalim from the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, and everyone is partying, and nobody cares. And everything is so clear, and then comes the haze. May perhaps, when we don't see the light, when it's clear, when we appreciate it, when we don't appreciate God is beckoning to us with the light of Torah, Rahman al-San, the haze comes, and then we really can't see the light. And then Kimu Masha Klibu Far, we realize, God forbid, the hard way. But that's a whole different shot of the Rav's piece. But the simple understanding for us is that it's not so simple. That's a simple understanding, that it's not so simple. That when things seem so clear in life, at that moment, the Torah says, now go light the Ketores. Now, with that in mind, I think it's such a tremendous pshat. Let's read that last paragraph one more time. If you close the sefer, I'm going to read it to you. Bottom page 155. However, the truth is, now we can think, we can understand this on a much more deep level. Feeling one's own soul and determining its natural tendency is not at all simple. You have the lights and you have the spices. You have the oil burning and you have smoke. You must pray and beseech Hashem, please guide me in the path of truth. You can't even see the path sometimes. It's so smoky. Give me the das, God, not to do what is easiest, but what is most appropriate for me. And sometimes that's what we can't even figure out. And we have to daven for that. We have to daven for that. Ladies, besuras tovos, we should have a week of clarity and the right decision. So, Kol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yiras Shemayim, and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.